where the rail may run. Reach for the words, reach for the story, follow the rainbow sun. To a shining time station, where dreams can come true, waiting there for you.
There you go. Just one second. Have a good trip.
Morning, Stacy.
Oh, hiya, Barton. What brings you to Shining Time Station?
Delivery for the children. New crayons.
Oh, that's great. Oh, what lovely colors.
$1.59 a box and a supply of my finest drawing paper.
Oh.
And, of course, the entry forms for the Indian Valley Coloring Contest.
Oh, that's right. The coloring contest is today.
Right. Hey, BW. Ooh. Giving stuff away, huh?
These are not giveaways, Schemer. They were paid for by the children.
You know, they could have come to the general store to pick them up.
Yeah, well, the general store will be closed today.
Oh, close it down the store, huh, BW? I knew you were running that place into the ground. You should have followed Schemer's system of success. High prices, low quality.
Be only closed for today, Schemer.
And never close up shop when there are customers to take advantage of.
I have a very important engagement.
So, who doesn't?
Hey, behind you, Mr.
Morning, son! Hey, what's shaking?
Going to ride your motorcycle again, Mr. Winslow?
This cat is going to put the pedal to the metal in a very big motorcycle showdown.
Wow! What's he talking about?
I think Barton is going to be in a motorcycle race.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to win, but I'm sure going to give it my best shot. And now, I'm out of here.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Kara.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. Oh, you just missed Barton Winslow.
He's on leaving.
Well, he brought you these.
Great, the crayons we ordered.
You start now.
Ooh.
I'm going to draw a train.
It has to be a person.
You have to draw someone you know.
Hi, the gang.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy. Did you bring back anything?
Oh, yes, indeed.
What?
Something special.
Ink?
Ah, special ink. It does something almost magical. Whatever you write with it. But that's all I'll tell you for now. For the rest, you'll have to wait.
Magical ink.
What do you think?
Well, it's good.
Can I see yours?
It's not ready.
If I can reach the end in under 30 seconds, I'll have beaten my old record. Where did these new obstacles come from?
They came from me, Mr. Conductor. I ripped up my drawing.
It is a drawing. That's a familiar-looking eye. I'd like to see this drawing.
It's too late now.
It's never too late. Stacy, as she looks a lot better now.
But Kara's drawing is better than mine. Maybe Billy's easier to draw than Stacy. Or maybe Kara's cheating.
Cheating? We can't have that. Call the contest judges. We'll put a stop to it.
I'm not sure she's cheating.
But you said she was. And you wouldn't say things you don't mean about your friends. Look what happened to Thomas when he did that.
Thomas?
You mean you don't know the story about Thomas, Percy, and Nicole? All right. I'll tell you about it. It was a beautiful morning on the island of Sodor. Thomas the Tank Engine's blue paint sparkled in the sunshine as he puffed happily along his branch line with Annie and Clarabelle. He was feeling very pleased with himself. Thomas, whistled Percy. You look splendid. Yes, indeed, boasted Thomas. Blue is the only proper color for an engine. Oh, I don't know. I like my brown paint, said Toby. I've always been green. I wouldn't want to be any other color either, added Percy. Well, well, anyway, huffed Thomas, blue is the only color for a really useful engine. Everyone knows that. Percy said no more. He just grinned at Toby. Later, Thomas was resting when Percy arrived. The large hopper was loading his freight cars full of coal. Thomas was still being cheeky. Careful, he warned. Watch out with those silly cars. Go on, go on, muttered the cars. And by the way, went on Thomas, those buffers don't look very safe to me. The last load poured down. Help, help, cried Thomas. Get me out. Percy was worried, but he couldn't help laughing. Thomas's smart blue paint was covered in coal dust from smokebox to bunker. Ha-ha! Chuckled Percy. You don't look really useful now, Thomas. You look really disgraceful. I'm not disgraceful, choked Thomas. You did that on purpose. Get me out. It took so long to clean Thomas that he wasn't in time for his next train. Toby had to take Annie and Clarabelle. Poor Thomas, whispered Annie to Clarabelle. They were most upset. Thomas was grumpy in the shed that night. Toby thought it a great joke, but Percy was cross with Thomas for thinking he had made his paint dirty on purpose. Fancy a really useful blue engine like Thomas becoming a disgrace to Sir Topham Hatt's railway. Next day, Thomas was feeling more cheerful as he watched Percy bring his cars from the junction. The cars were heavy and Percy was tired. Have a drink, said his driver. Then you'll feel better. The water column stood at the end of the siding with the unsafe buffers. Suddenly, Percy found that he couldn't stop. The buffers didn't stop him either. Oh, wailed Percy. Help! The buffers were broken, and Percy was wheel-deep in coal. It was time for Thomas to leave. He had seen everything. Now Percy has learned his lesson, too, he chuckled to himself. That night, the two engines made up their quarrel. I didn't cause your accident on purpose, Thomas, whispered Percy. You do know that, don't you? Of course, replied Thomas, and I'm sorry I teased you. Your green paint looks splendid again, too. In future, we'll both be more careful of coal. Little problems can grow into big problems when you start saying things you don't mean.
Okay. Kara's not cheating. But the only way I'll ever win is by magic.
Do you know any?
No. But you do. I bet you could use magic to make me a fabulous picture. Oh, please, will you do it, Mr. Conductor? Say you'll do it.
Sounds like winning the contest is really important to you.
Oh, it is. More important than anything. And this is the only way.
Well, if it's that important. But I hope winning the contest makes you feel like a winner.
It's perfect, Mr. Conductor. Now I'll win for sure. Thank you.
Hey, look at this mess. Look at this mess. Kids, when I was your age, I was outselling insects to people with ant farms.
Well, we're making pictures of people we know. There's a prize.
A prize? Children, my good side.
I'm drawing Billy.
I'm drawing Stacy.
How about you, Dan?
I can't decide who to draw.
Well, there's always yours truly.
Have you ever seen a more magnificent profile?
I don't think there's an artist around here who could capture the rugged good looks of this exceptionally cute face. Unless... Yes! Genius time! Genius time! Magical ink!
You want something, sir?
No. What would I possibly want inside there, Billy? No, there's absolutely nothing in there that would interest me at all. No.
Well, if you want to borrow something, you just ask.
Ink does something almost magical when you draw.
And it's like Billy said, I'm just borrowing it.
I'll return it in a couple days.
Kara, that is beautiful.
Billy. What do you think, Becky?
I think it made Stacy look like a fairy princess.
Oh, how did you learn to draw like this?
It just sort of happened.
Ah, looks like you took it with a camera.
Yeah. Well, you two can be very proud of yourselves.
I think this is the best drawing I ever made. I'm going to keep working on it.
Poor kid, she really feels bad.
I don't get it. She's got the winning picture in her hand. What's the matter with her?
I know just how she's feeling.
You do?
Wex, baby. I wasn't always the brilliant key tickler that stands before you. Why, when I was just a little Tito learning to play, I had some hard times, just like Becky.
Yes, Mother?
That sounded much better, dear. Keep practicing.
Hey, stop that! Who said that?
Me.
Me who?
Me, your piano. Pounding on me with your hands is bad enough. You don't need to use your nose.
Well, I'm sorry.
Now take your clumsy little fingers off of me and listen carefully. I'll show you how the piece should be played.
Give me some breathing room, boy!
Magnificent, my darling Tito. All your practice is paying off.
Wow, you're good.
Sure I'm good, dude. I practice.
The piano played whatever I wanted it to play. I stopped practicing. At first, it was fun. When the piano was playing, I just pretended I was pressing the keys. My mother was, like, totally knocked out.
Oh, you play brilliantly. I am so proud of you. I must be the luckiest mother in the world to have a son who practices so hard. Oh, lucky me, lucky me, lucky mom.
Tito, my boy, I did it.
But then, I started to feel badly about tricking my mother.
I started playing again.
I wasn't very good, but I was trying.
Hey, that sounded pretty all right.
I did it, didn't I?
Man, you keep practicing, and one day you're gonna be as good as me.
This is gonna be fun.
Tito, whoever are you talking to?
You know what, Mom?
What, darling?
This one's just for you.
I learned a lesson every musician has to learn.
To practice every day.
Did all of that really happen, Tito?
No, but it kept you all quiet.
Why?
Tito, you
Come on. Everybody, heads up. It's showtime.
Showtime. All right, positions, everybody. Wait a minute. I got it. Go. I'm almost there. Okay, I'm ready.
And a one, and a two.
Oh, once upon a time in Arkansas, an old man sat in his little cabin door and fiddled out a tune that he liked to hear, a silly old tune that he played by ear. Well, it was raining hard, but the fiddler didn't care. He sawed away at the popular air. Though his rooftop leaked like a waterfall, that didn't seem to bother the man at all. A traveler was passing by the day and stopped to hear him practicing away. The cabin was afloat and his feet were wet, but still the old man didn't seem to fret. So the stranger said, "Now the way it seems to me, you'd better mend your roof," said he. But the old man said as he played away, "I couldn't mend it, now it's a rainy day."
Did you win the contest?
No, not yet. Look at her, Mr. Conductor. She's so pleased with herself. And all because she named Roar. Well, so what?
Are you talking about Kara again? I thought the magic picture was going to make everything all right.
It would have if Kara didn't go around acting so proud of herself.
Becky, you sound just like Gordon did that time with the famous visitor.
Why? What happened to Gordon?
I thought she'd never ask.
It was an important day in the yard. Everyone was busy and excited, making notes and taking photographs. A special visitor had arrived and was now the center of attention.
"Who is that?"
whispered Thomas to Duck. "That," said Duck proudly, "is a celebrity."
"A what?"
asked Percy. "A celebrity is a very famous engine," replied Duck. "Driver says we can talk to him soon."
"Oh," said Thomas, "he's probably too famous to even notice us."
Just then, Gordon arrived.
"Huh," said Gordon, "who cares? A lot of fuss about nothing, if you ask me." And he steamed away.
Later that night, the engines found that the visitor wasn't conceited at all. He enjoyed talking to the other engines till long after the stars came out. He left early next morning. Gordon was still complaining.
"Good riddance," he grumbled, "chattering all night. Who is he, anyway?"
"Duck told you," replied Thomas. "He's famous."
"As famous as me? Nonsense."
"He's famouser than you. He went 100 miles an hour before you were even thought of."
"Huh, so he says," puffed Gordon. "But I didn't like his looks."
"He's got no dome. Never trust domeless engines. They're not respectable."
"I never boast, but I'd say 100 miles an hour would be easy for me. Goodbye."
Duck took some freight cars to Edward's station. "Hello," called Edward.
"That famous engine came through this morning. He whistled to me. Wasn't he kind?"
"He's the finest engine in the world," replied Duck. Then he told Edward what Gordon had said.
"Take no notice," soothed Edward. "He's just jealous. He thinks no engine should be famous but him. Look, he's coming now."
Gordon was running very fast. His wheels pounded the rails.
"He did it, I'll do it. He did it, I'll do it."
Gordon's train rocketed past and was gone.
"He'll knock himself to bits," chuckled Duck.
We aren't running a race. We are then, said Gordon, but he said it to himself. Suddenly, Gordon began to feel a little strange. The top of my boiler seems funny, he thought. It feels as if something is loose. I'd better go slower. But it was too late. On the viaduct, they met the wind. It was a teasing wind which blew suddenly in hard puffs. Gordon thought it wanted to push him off the bridge. No, you don't, he said firmly. But the wind had other ideas. It curled round his boiler, crept under his loose dome, and lifted it off and away into the valley below. Gordon was most uncomfortable. The cold wind was whistling through the hole where his dome should be, and he felt silly without it. At the big station, the freight cars laughed at him. Gordon tried to wheeze them away. But they crowded around no matter what he did. On the way back to the shed, he wanted his driver to stop and fetch his dome.
We'll never find it now, said the driver. You'll have to go to the works for a new one.
Gordon was very cross.
I hope the shed is empty tonight, he huffed to himself.
But all the engines were there waiting. Never trust domeless engines, said a voice from somewhere behind him. They aren't respectable.
I guess I have been kind of jealous of Kara.
I'm glad you admitted it, Becky. Jealousy is one thing you don't want to practice. As for me, I'm going to practice my bicycle jumps at Mount Careful.
You're jumping over mountains?
Oh, no. Molehills. Never make a mountain out of a molehill, I say. Goodbye. Good luck at the contest. At least I don't have to worry about blowing my dome off.
Time to put in our drawing. Want to put in yours with mine? It's not ready yet. You can go without me. Well, the envelope's here when you are.
Oh, Beck, have you seen my special ink?
No.
Seems it's disappeared a little sooner than I expected. What do you think of the painting? It's a tree.
Doesn't look like a real tree.
Well, it's meant to look like I feel about a tree.
I don't think I get it.
Well, when I was painting it, I thought about how I feel when I walk through the forest. You know, trees are old and wise. The wind rustles their leaves and they whisper to one another. And I feel peaceful and happy. That's what I was painting. The feeling.
All the different greens make it look shady and cool and kind of friendly. Like you could sit down and listen to a story or something.
The trees are tall, like me. They sort of start down at Mother Earth and they reach up towards Father Sun. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
What's the race?
It was totally bossy. You should have seen me. I was out at the starting gate like grease lightning, way ahead of the pack. Well, there was one cat just ahead of me. I poured on the speed, and there we were, rounding the last bend, neck and neck, and it wailing down towards the finish line. I gunned it. He gunned it. Engines roared. What a gas. He took me.
Huh?
I lost.
Oh! Oh, but we won!
Well, we have some real winners here.
My drawing came in first. The grand champion.
Oh. Best action drawing. That picture. It's you on your motorcycle winning the race.
Oh.
But I lost the race, Dad.
That's okay. I think it's really neat they won the race that off.
Dad, my man, you are okay. Now, I'm out of here.
Okay, well, what about Becky's picture?
Third prize winner. They said it was the most expressive.
Prime?
The most expressive?
Oh.
It looks more beautiful than the other one.
Oh, no, I like this one better.
What do you think, Billy?
I was wondering what you thought.
I like it, just so I feel that seat.
Hey, gang. Any more prize-winning pictures in that envelope?
No pictures left at all.
Just this blank sheet.
Yeah. Let me see this. Hey, where's my beautiful mug? My million-dollar smile? I have disappeared. Schemer has vanished.
That's funny. Something of mine vanished today, too. My disappearing ink.
Disappearing ink?
That's right. That special ink of mine was disappearing. Whatever you write with it disappears. I don't suppose that you borrowed it, Schemer? To draw a self-portrait?
Well, it wasn't actually all my idea. It was actually my mommy's idea, and she wanted me to do it, so that's why I did it.
So where's the ink?
I have it right here in my jacket pocket.
Oh, it's there! And there! And over there!
Hey! I thought you said this was disappearing ink! Come on, disappear! Out, don't spot! Out! There, move! Come on! Go away! Go away!
Reach for the speed, reach for the whistle, go where the rail may run. Reach for the words, reach for the story, follow the rainbow sun. To a shining time station, where dreams can come true, waiting there for you. So much to see, so far to travel, so much to learn to know. Friends by your side, hopes to hold on to, who knows how far you'll go. To a shining time station, where dreams can come true. Your own imagination, waiting there for you.
Funding for this program was provided in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.